The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. And let's start off with health. Quieting anxiety. Overwhelming crises have made many of us jumpy. But how do you know when you have slipped into a more serious problem and need help? 5 years ago, Meredith Arthur, a 45-year-old San Francisco resident and an employee of the social media company Pinterest, arrived at a neurologist appointment in a distraught state. She spoke a mile a minute, rattling through her extensive research on the vagus cranial nerve and explaining why she thought it might hold clues to her crippling shoulder and neck pain, frequent dizziness, nausea, and chronic migraines. I was presenting my inexpert case to an expert, who stopped me and said, "I know what's wrong. You have a generalized anxiety disorder." For Arthur, the diagnosis was a shock. She had been so focused on her debilitating physical symptoms that she hadn't considered that they could be linked to her mental health. Almost immediately it clicked. "My brain was always in overdrive," Arthur recalls. "I wanted to work all the time and solve everything." She would never have described herself as a worrier, however, and certainly didn't connect her perfectionism to anxiety or its effect on her body. But in fact, physical discomfort, not distressing thoughts, is most often what drives people with anxiety to seek treatment. "The diagnosis changed everything," said Arthur. "It's like somebody picked me up off the earth, turned me around 180 degrees, and put me back down. It was the same world, but everything looked a little different." Arthur is one of 40 million American adults who experience an anxiety disorder, the most common form of mental illness every year. But anxiety touches everyone to varying degrees. Typically, it's intermittent and brought on by a stressful or traumatic event. Its core features are excessive fear and worry, and one of the major underlying factors is a feeling of uncertainty about situations that occur in daily life. These are exceedingly uncertain times due to the combination of economic precariousness, social unrest, environmental catastrophes, and the COVID-19 pandemic. Managing anxiety will ensure it doesn't rule your life. How chronic anxiety harms the body. Anxiety is part of your body's stress response system, and it can be uncomfortable, overwhelming, and sometimes plain confusing. "I describe anxiety as a future-oriented emotional response to perceived threat," says Joel Menden, Ph.D., a clinical psychologist and the author of Show Your Anxiety Who's Boss. "We anticipate that something bad will happen. Maybe we have evidence, maybe we don't, but we have a belief that something catastrophic might occur." Almost immediately, Menden says, your sympathetic nervous system, which controls involuntary processes such as breathing and heart rate, kicks into high gear. This leads your adrenaline glands to release adrenaline and cortisol, two of the crucial hormones that drive your body's fight, freeze, flight response, and prompt anxiety's physical symptoms. Your heart races, your blood pressure rises, your pupils dilate, you get short of breath, and you break out in a clammy sweat. Meanwhile, cortisol curbs functions that your brain considers non-essential. It alters immune system responses and suppresses the digestive system, the reproductive system, and growth processes. This was helpful for our ancestors trying to outrun saber-toothed tigers. But that's ridiculous. Saber-toothed tigers didn't run. It's not so much when you can't stop ruminating about whether you might have caught COVID-19 when the guy behind you in line at the grocery store coughed twice. For Arthur, chronic physical pain and discomfort were the most powerful manifestations of her disorder. But anxiety can show itself in many ways. You might perceive something as threatening, even when it isn't, or go to great lengths to avoid uncomfortable situations. You might constantly overthink plans or spend all of your time creating solutions to worst-case scenarios. Maybe you feel indecisive and fear making the wrong decision. Or you might find yourself restless, keyed up, and unable to relax. Often, those symptoms only last as long as certain situations are present. You may feel nervous about flying, but you do it, and the feeling fades when the wheels touch down. Other times, anxiety can tip into becoming a chronic anxiety disorder, such as generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, social anxiety disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, or a phobia. The distinction between circumstantial or temporary anxiety and a more severe case isn't always easy to make, says clinical psychologist David Carbonell, Ph.D., founder of the Anxiety Treatment Center in Chicago. There isn't a blood test for anxiety. At some point, everybody experiences it, he says. It becomes a disorder when it interferes with behavioral choices and your ability to do as you wish in life. That point could be when your job requires you to fly, but you're too anxious to make it even as far as the airport, which ultimately puts your livelihood in jeopardy. More generally, you may find that anxious feelings last even after a problem has been resolved, and that those feelings seem to arise from one situation to the next without relief. Treat anxious feelings when they persist. Despite the fact that chronic anxiety is a very manageable and some combination of medication, therapy, and lifestyle adjustments, only about 37% of affected people receive the treatment of any kind. The rest try either battle their anxiety from within or to suppress it. People spend too much time and effort trying to control anxiety, says Bindon. I encourage them to remember that anxiety is a normal emotional response. If you try to banish it, he adds, all you're doing is putting it more at the forefront of your mind. Here are some tips to help minimize anxiety's negative effects. First of all, accept it. If you accept anxiety as a part of life and part of everyone's lived experience, you can learn to relate to it with self-compassion, even with humor. This is a cornerstone of acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT, which has been gaining clinical validation, including by the American Psychological Association. ACT guides people to see their unpleasant emotions as just feelings and to accept that parts of life are hard. Practitioners encourage patients to begin a dialogue with anxious thoughts, examining the causes of those feelings, while also keeping in mind their personal goals and values. Although anxious thoughts shouldn't be completely suppressed, sufferers can be trained to not to allow anxiety to turn them away from what they want to do and who they want to be. Second, be curious about it. Along with acceptance and mindfulness, a mindfulness approach to anxiety can be useful, especially when you're cycling through anxious thoughts and unable to think clearly or rationally. In his book, Unwind Anxiety, psychiatrist and neuroscientist Judson Brewer, M.D., recommends paying attention to the body's sensations, thoughts, and emotions that come as a result of feeling anxious or worried. When we notice the name and physical sensations that are arising in our bodies, my face feels flushed, my breathing is shallow, my heart is beating quickly, we are already less caught up in those anxious reactions, simply through that act of observation, says Dr. Brewer. Many mindfulness training apps can help, including one, also called Unwind Anxiety, that Dr. Brewer developed in his lab at Brown University. After 3 months of using the app, test participants recorded an average 57% reduction in their anxiety. Understand exactly what was happening inside her body and bringing her awareness to it was a great tool for Arthur, because her thinking brain could then take over from her immediate fight-freeze-flight reaction to an anxious moment. Over time, her symptoms became less acute and troublesome. She pictured the hormones hitting her body the same way an ocean wave hits the beach. The beach can't fight the wave, but it remains steady and allows the wave to wash over it and fall back. Third, make lifestyle adjustments. Learning to live with anxiety is an individual process that requires trials and error to get it just right. While acceptance is the first and foremost step, some lifestyle changes have been proved to take the edge off as well. Since fatigue and increased stress leave us more vulnerable to anxiety, a well-balanced diet, adequate rest, and above all exercise can help us manage it better. One research study showed that regular vigorous workouts reduced the likelihood of developing an anxiety disorder over the next 5 years by up to 25%. Meredith Arthur's toolkit consists of medication, a prescription SSRI antidepressant, and a consistent meditation practice. Arthur also shares her experiences on the website Medium.com. Openly discussing her anxiety has transformed her relationship with it. I'm learning to live in harmony as much as possible with this thing that is a part of me, she says. It's not always pleasant, but I accept, and to the extent that I can, take care of my anxiety. Medication can help. Many people avoid even looking into medication for anxiety because of the stigma associated with psychiatric drugs. Those with anxiety may worry that they'll become dependent on the drugs or that loved ones will see them as weak or flawed. But the fact is, modern pharmacological treatments for anxiety disorders are safer and produce fewer side effects than they did 30 years ago. At the same time, attitudes toward mental illness are improving. A 2019 survey by the American Psychological Association found that 87% of adults agreed that having a mental health disorder is nothing to be ashamed of. If you're ready to explore medication, Deborah Kissen, Ph.D., CEO of Light on Anxiety CBT Treatment Center, suggests talking to a primary care doctor who can prescribe the medications most commonly take for anxiety. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, such as Zoloft and Prozac, are good starting medications for many forms of anxiety. Serotonin is a neurotransmitter that plays a role in feelings of well-being and happiness, as well as thinking, memory, sleep, digestion, and circulation. SSRIs increase levels of serotonin in the brain and are considered non-addictive and safe for long-term use. Another choice is short-term use of benzodiazepines, or benzos, such as Xanax, which strengthen the effect of neurotransmitter GABA, G-A-B-A, the primary inhibitory turnoff signal in the brain. Benzos are fast-acting and don't stay in your system for long, but they are potentially addictive and are considered unsafe for continuous use. Kissin believes therapy is still crucial because the gains are hardwired into your brain. For moderate to severe anxiety, a combination therapy with medication is generally the most effective. It's a 1-2 punch, where the medication is setting up your environment of your brain to make the most rapid gains as you're doing the work of learning new ways of looking at situations, says Kissin. Last week, we started a kind of a list of 100 of the silliest, craziest tweets, and we'll continue that today. Some of these are not very funny, but some of them are hilarious. If I was stuck on a desert island with only one record, I would want it to be the record to be able to swim the farthest. What do you mean I didn't win? I have more wet T-shirts than anyone else. If I ever say the words, my fantasy football team, just know it is code for I've been kidnapped. Please help me. Crisis centers. Trauma, a word boring people use to describe fun people. Every class is drama class when you're in high school. That's true. It's a date. What my girlfriend thought. First four dates. 1. Nice shirt. Wow. A second nice shirt. 3. Okay, first shirt again. 4. He has 2 shirts. Told my boyfriend I was going to start my period, and he said, again? It's like, you know what? You're right. I'm canceling my subscription. Done with dating sites, I'm now focusing on pizza delivery guys, but at least I know they have a job, a car, and a pizza. Then there's a picture of 2 swans, and you know how swans will go beak to beak, and they make a heart shape with their necks? And the thing is, I interrupted their moment. The swans turn to look at them and break the heart. Till death do us part. I don't want to die doing something I love. I want to die doing something I hate. That way I don't have to finish it. Decided that the one phrase I do not want in my obituary is, died before his Botox gawker could revive him. My parrot died today. Its last words were, darn, I think my parrot is about to die. Weight Watchers, do people who run know that we're not food anymore? Honestly, my biggest fear about becoming a zombie is all the walking. The serving size for pizza is, until you hate yourself. Fashion Police. Eleanor Roosevelt once said to do one thing every day that scares you. Today I'm going jean shopping. Every neck tattoo should read, I'm not getting the job, am I? I bet when the first guy wore glasses, everybody was like, oh, la-di-da, excuse me, mister, I need 2 monocles. Haircuts are great because I did none of the work but get all of the credit. We're just friends. I don't want a whole dessert. Let's just get 2 spoons, former friends of mine. Liking the small stuff is one thing, but hating the same things, true friendship. I've invented 2 Facebook, the antisocial network. You start being friends with the entire world and befriend people one by one. Insults. The most cutting thing you can say is, who's this clown? Because it implies they're A, a clown, and B, not even one of the better known clowns. Probably the worst thing you can hear when you're wearing a bikini is, good for you. So childish. Sometimes I want kids just so I can eat fish sticks for dinner. Without guilt. My 5-year-old hasn't said a word in the car after I convinced him that the volume control in our stereo ejects his car seat. Oh, that's tough. I like having conversations with kids. Grown-ups never ask me what my third favorite reptile is. My 5-year-old, after I explained the concept of breastfeeding, can you squeeze Capri Suns out of those things or just milk? Sometimes at night after my son has gone to bed, I go into the room and finish all my sentences. Idiot or savant? What should we call this giant advertising billboard? Phil. A fillboard. Bill. I have a better idea. One of life's great pleasures is to watch 2 idiots agree on something and then hear one of them say, great minds think alike. When someone tells me, great question, I never hear their answer because I'm busy congratulating myself for asking such a great question. Parents. We all have them. Great news. I get 100 on my son's geometry test. My mom said, you know what I need? A selfie stick. So whenever I see one taking a selfie, I can hit them with the stick. My grandfather, covertly followed my mother to the grocery store, walked behind her until she put pickles in the cart and screamed, "We've got pickles at home!" Pretty much the most frightening part of my day is when I get a notification my mother has tagged me in a post on Facebook. Me: "Mom, if you could have any power, what would you want?" Mom: "Sleep through the night without getting up to pee." Going mental. One of my favorite games is to play is my headache from dehydration, caffeine withdrawal, lack of proper nutrition, my ponytail, stress, lack of sleep, not wearing my glasses, or a brain tumor. If you're thinking what I'm thinking, here's my therapist number. Shipwreck Diary, Day 1, alone doing well, mentally sound, met a crab. Day 2, I have married the crab. Day 3, I have eaten my wife. Updated classicals for millennials. Jane Airbnb. Tessa the Uber drivers. Alexa, tell me about two cities. Charlotte's webcam. Tender is the night. That's T-I-N-D-E-R. L-O-L Lita. Lolita. And then there's a picture of a large round table, probably at the UN, with a whole bunch of people sitting around it. I'm talking about 40 or 50 people, that big of a round table. And the center is wide open, but there's a bunch of stuff sitting in the center, like flowers and things like that. And the person who wrote says, "All I see is hummus." Raining cats and dogs. I just heard the guy at the dog bar tell his dog, "No." And then more quietly, "We talked about this." When cats are sad. Bartender: "What do you have?" Cat: "Shot of rum." Bartender pours it. Cat slowly pushes it off the bar. Cat: "Another." Oh, the shame. "Don't worry. I'll hold your stuff. You just worry about making friends." Cargo shorts. You'll never be as lazy as whoever named the fireplace. "Hi, Grandma. Can you come pick me up for my rap battle?" "It's over. No, I lost. He saw you drop me off and did a pretty devastating rhyme about it." Quipper tweet. You think you know the golden age of comedy? Guess what one-liners come from the following legends? And we're not going to do that, but I will read the quotes because some of them are funny. The worst part about being a giraffe is having a lot of time to think about your mistakes when you're sinking into quicksand. I drink too much. The last time I gave a urine sample, it had an olive in it. Why didn't Han Solo enjoy his steak dinner? It was chewy. Health nuts are going to feel stupid someday, lying in hospitals dying of nothing. My granddaughter wanted a Cinderella-themed party, so I invited all of her friends over and bade them clean my house. Our scariest president was probably Rushmore because he had four heads. I was going to have cosmetic surgery until I noticed that the doctor's office was full of portraits of Picasso. Russian dolls are so full of themselves. Think of how stupid the average person is and realize that half of them are stupider than that. Uncivil marriage. When my wife gets a little upset, sometimes a simple calm down and a soothing voice is all it takes to get her a lot upset. Before marrying someone, listen long and hard to the sounds of their chewing, because that's the soundtrack to the rest of your life. You know that guy who looks like that other guy in the show we used to like? He died. How my wife and I communicate. Spies like us. We can either confirm or deny that this is our first tweet. Wordsmiths. Just found out that the worst page in the entire dictionary. What I saw was disgraceful, disgusting, dishonest, and disingenuous. Autocorrect walks into a bar. Bartender says, "Well, what can I get you?" Autocorrect says, "I'll have a bear, never mind." It's four different spellings there. Whom? Al that never gets invited to parties. In the name of. My daughter doesn't know the word braces, so she's got tiny tails for your teeth. What do you think Kid Rock and Chris Rock talk about at family reunions? Pickup artist and garbage men should switch names. What idiot called it a fly swatter and not a spatula? A splatula. Who called it your foot falling asleep and not comatose? Comatose. It happens every time. Every time a sexy woman jumps out of a giant cake, there is at least one guy who's bummed about the cake being ruined. Every time I almost think humanity will be okay, I see someone struggle with a self-checkout for 20 minutes. Food for thought. I wanted to go out tonight, but the avocado I brought this week will finally be ripe enough to eat between 8 p.m. and 8:15 p.m., so I can't. Fortune cookie. You just broke my house in half, and now you're reading my journal. The best way to prepare cauliflower is by throwing it in the trash while ordering a delicious pizza. Hold, 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 charge, eyes at the bottom of a glass. Self-awareness. It was a good thing I was born a girl, otherwise I'd be a drag queen. Dolly Parton. Just bought a book on narcissism. It's great. It's all about me. Mom, Dad, I'm a gatherer. Caveman coming out to his parents. Weird science. How do they get the hurricanes to arrive in alphabetical order? T-Nail. What do we want more? More time travel jokes. When do we want them? Right? In 1,000 years, archaeologists will dig up tanning beds that think we fried people as a punishment. Who knew? If your block could talk. Fascinating facts about the streets where we live. One bitterly cold morning a few years back, I shuffled into the bathroom and turned on the water to brush my teeth. Nada. In a fog, I trudged to the kitchen faucet, hoping for better. Nope. My next shuffle was to my phone call to my city water department. The voice that answered was that of someone who'd already answered the phone one too many times that morning. I learned that my water line was frozen. Only one company could remedy that problem, and it was booked for 2 days. 2 days later, after I got the all clear, the guy at the water department told me, unless you want to go through that again, open a faucet and let a pencil-lead stream of water run for the rest of the winter. For the next 6 weeks, we did just that. The endless trickle became a gnawing reminder of everything I didn't know. I really had no idea where our water came from, or where it went. For that matter, how my phone call to the water department had gotten through to the water department. As I stared out the window, I further realized I knew nothing about the concrete sidewalk leading to our door, the lawn beneath the freshly fallen snow, the squirrels in the trees, the ancient walnut tree on the boulevard, nothing. And these were just things I could see through one dinky window. I'd read books about journeying across Antarctica, down the Amazon River, up and on Everest. I'd written books about 50,000-year-old wood buried in the bogs in New Zealand, and the violin makers of Cremona, Italy. But I knew nothing about the world right outside my front door. So I started doing some research, and I learned the most fascinating things. If your home address is an odd number, you probably live on the south or east side of the street. If it's an even number, you probably live on the north or west side. Let's look at the street names, too. I'm going to call a violation to that because I grew up at 295 Westgate Avenue, which was on the west side of the street. Let's look at street names, too. If you're strolling in Oklahoma or Arkansas, you'll find the most popular street name to be Oak. If in Wisconsin, Vermont, or a dozen other states, the number one prize goes to Park. In the Deep South, Dogwood and Magnolia take the cake. But the most commonly found street name in the United States is, interesting enough, Second. Why? The most logical explanation is that in some cities, the main drag is Main Street, and in others, it's First. Rounding out the top 10 U.S. street names in order, Third, First, Fourth, Park, Fifth, Main, Sixth, Oak, and Seventh. The selection of place names has often been, without exception, careless, says Don Emerson, author of The Street Where You Live, A Guide to the Place Names of St. Paul. We have such misnomers as College Avenue with no college, Palace Avenue with no palace, Ocean Street with no ocean, and Hunting Valley Road with no valley or hunters. Your block is home to 8.1 squirrels. With 106 species, Southern Asia is considered the squirrel capital of the world. North America has a mere 66. With a density of about 1.5 squirrels per acre, and since the range of most squirrels is only a few acres, chances are the same old squirrel you see day after day in your backyard are exactly that. Some 1.12 billion of them live in the United States at any given time. They have an uncanny ability to thrive in a wide range of environs, urban parks, suburban backyards, wilderness forests. They flourish because they like humans, are generalist, says John Moriarty, senior wildlife manager at the Three Rivers Park District in Minnesota. Squirrels can live in treetop nests, hollowed out tree trunks, or even in your attic. Litter carriers bring you 41 pounds of junk mail a year. You don't open 44% of it, and you recycle about a quarter of it. Over the years, the United States Postal Service has delivered mail, junk and otherwise, via stagecoach, roller skate, motorcycle, ski, Segway, tobacco, cog sled, boat, biplane, supersonic jet, snowmobile, and hovercraft. If you live at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, your mail is brought to you by mule. In New York City, pneumatic tubes once helped deliver 6 million letters a day, including one-third of the city's first-class mail, via 27 miles of tubing that ran beneath the city's streets, and even across the Brooklyn Bridge. Each capsule could travel 35 miles per hour and hold up to 600 letters, or an unspecified number of submarine sandwiches, which, according to lore, were delivered to hungry postal workers this way. In 1958, Harry Winston had such faith in the Postal Service that when he donated $38 million, $350 million today's dollar, Hope Diamond to the Smithsonian, he shipped it by registered mail, and a plain-blown envelope started stamped fragile from New York City to Washington, D.C. The cost was $145.29, $244 for postage, and the rest for $1 million worth of insurance. Garbage collectors pick up 6,424 pounds of your trash a year. That's the average for a family of four in the United States, encompassing all kinds of trash, from urban, suburban, and rural cans and dumpsters. Based on those averages, if I were to kidnap your week's worth of trash on garbage day and pick through 50 pounds of waste left after you'd separated out the conventional recycling, I'd still found 10.5 pounds of food waste, 9 pounds of plastic, 7.5 pounds of paper and cardboard, 5.5 pounds of rubber, leather, and textiles, 4.5 pounds of metal, 4.5 pounds of yard trimmings, 4 pounds of wood, 2.5 pounds of glass, and 2 pounds of other stuff. The grass really does look greener on the other side of your fence. The old adage is true because when you're standing in your yard looking straight down, you see the dirt and bare spots between the blades of grass. But when you look over at your neighbor's yard at an angle, you see only the green blades. A healthy lawn contains about 8 grass plants per square inch, meaning that by your 50-by-100-foot lot has 5,760,000 plants for you to tend. According to Paul Koch, a plant pathologist from the O.J. Nord Turf Grass Research Facility, University of Wisconsin in Madison, the life cycle of any sated grass is only 3 to 6 weeks. Just as your body replaces cells so you don't have the same bones you had 10 years ago, he says the lawn replaces cells so you don't have the same grass you had a year or two ago. If you push a button at a crosswalk in a major city, it probably won't do anything. Only 9% of New York City's 3,000-plus pedestrian crosswalk buttons actually do anything. In Dallas, at one point, it was 0%. In outlying areas, small towns and suburbs, and at many urban intersections, those buttons do indeed communicate with the traffic lights. But in large cities, they're often little more than thumb calisthenics, devices for naive pedestrians. They remain because they are expensive to remove, and sometimes, as happened in Dallas, inactive buttons are reactivated. Steve Mischen, district traffic engineer for Minnesota Department of Transportation, explains that in dense urban areas, operable pedestrian crosswalk signals muddle the flow of vehicle traffic. To compensate, pedestrian traffic is allotted adequate time as part of the overall timing cycle. Signal timing changes with the ebb, flow, and direction of traffic. Sessions can range from 90 to 250 seconds. If you had X-ray vision, you'd see that a concrete sidewalk is typically 4 inches thick, a driveway 6 inches, and the interstate a beefy 11 inches. We manufacture and use more concrete than any other substance on the planet. Worldwide, we generate 10 billion tons of it per year, 3,000 pounds for every man, woman, and child. Pound for pound, we use twice as much concrete for building as steel, wood, plastic, and aluminum combined. The history of concrete follows a bumpy road. The Romans developed the kilns and techniques for formulating it more than 2,000 years ago. They built some of the most magnificent structures ever created, including the Pantheon, which stands today. But the fall of the empire, the formula was misplaced for 9 centuries. In 1414, the recipe was rediscovered in a copy of Vitruvius's On Architecture, found in a Swiss monastery, and has played a vital role in our lives and our walks and drives ever since. But they also developed, and this is not in the Reader's Digest, but a fact I know, they also developed a concrete that sets underwater, and we have yet to figure out how that works. You have 1 in 6 chance of speeding a speeding ticket this year. About 41 million speeding tickets are issued in the United States every year. Fines range from $10 for minor infractions in North Dakota to $2,500 for a driver faster than 85 miles per hour in Virginia. The average tickets amount to $150, which might seem a lot until we visit Finland and Switzerland, where fines are based on income. A wealthy driver clocked doing 180 miles per hour in Switzerland was fined $835,000. Men are 50% more likely to be issued a speeding ticket than women, and the hour or two following the morning rush along with the traffic lull between 1 and 3 p.m. are the times you're most likely to get a citation. With less traffic, drivers have more room to speed up and are more prone to being spotted and ticketed by law enforcement. You probably live within a 10-minute walk of a park. 7 of every 10 Americans are fortunate enough to live within a 10-minute walk of a park. Some areas naturally provide more green space than others. If you step out of your door in Scottsdale, Arizona, you have only a 40% chance of a short stroll to a park. But Missouri's Kansas Cityans have a 70% chance. Cleveland is an 83% chance, and San Francisco an 100% chance, an absolute certainty of being able to wiggle their toes in park grass within 600 seconds of walking out the door. Just as community developer Anthony Duaney once posited, that great cities are nothing more than a series of villages artfully stitched together. Great park systems are little more than people and places sewn together by grass, activities, and mutual respect. Says Mitch Silver, commissioner of the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation, I can't imagine a great city that doesn't have great parks. Lightweight. At a fire station number 6 in Livermore, California, there's a light bulb that is burning almost continuously since 1901. They sure don't make them like they used to. And with that, we're going to switch over to Consumer Reports. And I kind of wonder what Consumer Reports would say about a light bulb that burns for 120 years. And let's hear from Martha L. Tolado, President and CEO of Consumer Reports, getting the Internet we need. Access to high-speed Internet has been a game-changer for so many of us over the past year, making it possible to take part in vital activities, including attending school, seeking medical treatment, and working or interviewing for jobs. But unlike water, electricity, or even phone service, high-speed Internet isn't treated as a must-have utility it is. As a result, consumers are too often at the mercy of Internet service providers that call the shots on where they deliver service, at what speed, and at what cost. I found this out myself last year while wrestling with painfully slow Internet service at my home in rural New York State. The local provider said that the only option was for my neighbors and me to spend tens of thousands of dollars to cover the cost of upgrading service, which included digging a trench up our dirt road. We ended up hiring a local contractor to do it for less, knowing full well that we were fortunate to be able to broker this solution, but we needed to do better for communities all across the country. It is simply unacceptable that some 42 million Americans lack the ability to subscribe to broadband Internet at home, according to research and advocacy group Broadband Now, and that still more families struggling to make ends meet just can't afford it. To make matters worse, we often have no real choice of service providers or transparency on pricing. Even as we turn a corner on the pandemic, we need to ensure that everyone has access to affordable high-speed Internet. That's why CR members and others are joining our Broadband Together initiative. Consumers around the country will test their Internet speeds and share copies of their bills so we can bring more transparency to the light for fair Internet. I invite you to join this effort and make affordable Internet service available to all. Please go to broadbandtogether.org. Building a better world together. Removing risky products. What's at stake? Exercise equipment company Peloton called its Tread Plus and Tread Mills May 5th, after the Tread Plus was linked to dozens of injuries to children, including one death. It was a sharp reversal for Peloton, which refused to act in April when Consumer Product Safety Commission or Product Safety Commission issued an urgent warning for the Tread Plus. How CR has your back? CR Advocates says the standoff of Peloton receives a major gap in the CPSC's authority. It can't force a company to recall a product without taking it to court, and even when the agency's safety experts have tied a hazardous product to deaths or serious injuries. It shouldn't have required so much time and effort to get this product recalled, says William Wallace, CR's manager of safety policy. The CPSC needs the ability to make quicker, more forceful action when a product is putting people at risk. In addition to urging these reforms, CR is backing a bill in Congress that would eliminate the controversial Section 6B of the Federal Consumer Product Safety Act, which severely restricts CPSC's ability to close data and to warn the public of the risk. Make infant sleep safer. What's at stake? For far too long, unregulated infant sleep products have put babies in danger. 100 different deaths have been associated with inclined sleepers and at least 23 deaths with unregulated flat sleep products, such as in-bed sleepers. These products all have features that can limit a baby's ability to breathe freely and can lead to suffocation. How CR has your back. These dangers were brought to light by a multi-year CR investigation, which drew on the experience of parents of babies who died while placed in some of these products. Many inclined sleepers were subsequently recalled or removed from the market, but other products remained on sale. So CRs continue to advocate for rules that require all infant sleep products on the market to follow the safe sleep recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics, which says infants should sleep alone on their back on a firm, flat surface with no extra bedding. On June 2nd, the CPSC voted in favor of such a rule. Among other things, it requires infant sleepers to comply with strong minimum safety standards and draws a clear line between products that are safe for sleep and those that are not. The rule will take effect in about a year. energizing the case for EVs. What's at stake? More than 70% of consumers are interested in buying or leasing an electric vehicle, according to CR's nationally representative 2020 survey of 3,400 U.S. drivers, and for good reason. Though the purchase of an EV is typically higher than that of an equivalent gas-powered vehicle, recent CR research shows that EVs come out ahead when you factor in total ownership cost, including fuel and maintenance, saving owners $6,000 to $10,000 over the course of an EV's lifespan. How CR is your back? CR is pushing for numerous reforms to help meet the demand for EVs. One of our advocates, alongside CR members, testified in June at an Environmental Protection Agency hearing in support of states' authority to set stricter emission standards and establish clean car programs. In addition, Virginia recently became the 14th state to adopt a CR-endorsed energy program that will make it easier to purchase electric and low-emission vehicles, and a judge recently cleared the way for Minnesota to become the 15th. And an action update. In our February issue, we told you about a rule put in place by Consumer Financial Protection Bureau last October that would allow debt collectors to contact consumers via email, text message, and even social media messaging, and call them up to 7 times a week for each debt, all without confirming that the money is actually owed. In May, CR formally asked the CFPB to rescind the rule and to firmly limit abusive collective practices, and we delivered the signature of almost 180,000 consumers in support of your request. You can add your name to the petition at cr.org/debt0821. If the CFPB does not take action, the rule will go into effect in November. Your feedback. Our June cover story, CR's Great Outdoors Guard, offered smart ideas and products for making the most of your summer. Here readers discuss the best grilling techniques and do-it-yourself backyard movie night setups. For many years, I would make my own pizza crust on a charcoal grill. It can be done easily on gas, too. Lay it down on a heated charcoal grill grate, browning slightly on one side. Turn it over and grill it a slight bit darker on the other side. Bring inside and place olive oil, sauce, toppings, plus cheese on the slightly darker side. Prepare your toppings beforehand. Then slide the crust with toppings into a hot grill, onto the hot grill, lower the hood, and watch closely until nicely browned. Voila! Perfect grilled pizza while camping and no need for other costly equipment. I've done this on a little 12-inch kettle-type grill and our 22-inch charcoal grills. Tastes just perfect. The best way to cook veggies is not on a charcoal grill, but on an electric one, if you must. But I prefer steamed or walked veggies. Good for you and delicious. We love our combo gas charcoal Weber grill. No fluid needed, real charcoal taste, and super easy to start. How do you add coals to the Commodore Joe grill? Editor's note, if you need to add charcoal coals to your Commodore Joe while you're already cooking, it is indeed tricky, because you need to remove the hot racks. In our test of the Commodore Joe, which has 2 half grates, we added charcoal by moving our food to one half, then removing the other half of the grate with mitts to add the coal. We then replaced the grate and moved the food back to continue cooking. We took this process into account in our convenience score, though it was still easier than adding coals in some other Kamado-style grills we've tested. To avoid adding coals while cooking, fill your Kamado Joe to capacity. It should hold enough charcoal to cook for 12 hours or so without needing more. Ray, portable movie projectors. Using a white sheet works almost as well as a screen. Editor's note, absolutely. The key to using a sheet is to pull it tight. But it also helps if you iron it first with heavy starch. Then if you're attaching the sheet to a wall, try using heavy double-stick tape around the edges to get it as flat as possible. Or if you're handy, you can do it yourself with our own makeshift screen frame for the sheet. CR Technology Editor James Wilcox built a frame, then stapled the sheet to the frame with an industrial-grade stapler, stretching the sheet as tight as possible. Then he clamped the frame to the deck railing and was ready for showtime. Tire repairs. Your June 2021 article, Can Tire Sealants Really Fix a Flat?, raised a question. My 2010 Toyota Prius is not unusual in having tire pressure warning on the dash display. This suggests that there are pressure sensors in the wheels. Will sealants damage those sensors or require they receive special treatment while the tire is off for permanent made repair or replacement to ensure accuracy and reliability for future use? Editor's note. Most tire sealant products, including those reviewed, are claimed to be safe for tire pressure monitoring systems. That said, sealants work by coating the inside of the tire and wheel with a messy residue that could potentially gum up TPMS, risking erroneous readings. So a tire shop will need to clean out all sealant when it fixes or replaces your tire, which it may charge you extra for. But if using a tire sealant helps you get to safety to the repair shop, it can be worth the added expense. Once cleaned, a pro can check that your TPMS is working properly. In my experience, most slow leak flats have nails left in the tire, which will make the holes much smaller. The fix-a-flat often works for a while for an inexpensive, quick, and easy repair. I've also had success with plugs, though I know they have been deemed unsafe. Another method is to have an emergency starter battery with a built-in compressor. Gives two emergency with one product. Editor's note. Plugging a puncture is not an acceptable practice. Sealants are meant to serve as a temporary solution with the expectation that the car will take it to a shop for inspection as soon as possible. Ideally the same day. There are industry guidelines to fix a puncture in the tread of a tire using a plug and patch, and this requires moving the tire from the wheel for inspection and repair. In many cases, a puncture may warrant a full replacement of the tire. The kit that came with my Ford C-Max with sealant and a compressor saved my bacon in the middle of nowhere last year. Sealed the hole, aired up to the proper pressure, and allowed me to get to Discount Tire for proper repair. The tire sealant didn't work for me when I got stranded. It depends on the hole in your tire that caused the flat. If the hole is too big, it won't work. As a result, I brought a spare tire and jack so I don't get stranded again. Editor's note. Ultimately, nothing is effective as a traditional spare tire if you have room for one, because tire sealants work only on a small puncture in the tread. A hole the size of a large nail or sidewall damaged to your tire can't be repaired for tire sealants. Hearing aid fixes. I just read your June 2021 Article 3 Common Hearing Aid Problems and Fixes. I've been wearing hearing aids for more than 57 years. For me, the major cause of acoustic feedback is poorly fitting earplugs. Spend the money and get custom-made ear molds. Keep the ear tube clean and replace the wax guards as needed. I'm a motorcyclist, and it took 9 visits to get my aids adjusted properly so that I could ride safely. As for batteries, mine last 7 to 8 days. Every Sunday I replace them, even if the aids do not alert me. I also carry extra in my pocket. The need for an audiologist to replace battery applies only to aids with rechargeable batteries, not to zinc air batteries that are easily user-replaceable. Good hearing aids make all the difference in the world. I had a $3,000 pair that were lifesavers for 6 years. Just got a new set that are closer to $6,000, and they're awesome. I've been able to hear the homily from the back of the church for the first time in forever. My experience with hearing aids, my biggest shock, was after I got my hearing aids and walked out on my back deck and I could hear the birds singing, which I hadn't been able to hear. Earbud battery life. I read the best noise-canceling headphones for less about wireless headgear with interest. As an avid distance walker and hiker, I routinely use earbuds to take music with me. However, I learned through experience that the manufacturer's battery life numbers need to be viewed with a skeptical eye, as I noted a large variance in the life of different wireless buds. Editor's note. We agree that claimed battery life is often a gamble. In fact, in some cases, manufacturers say that they measure battery life with the headphones playing at lower volume, so it's likely that the advertised battery life won't always match up to real-world use. It's smart to check the return policy just in case you don't get as many hours out of your new earbuds as you hope. How often do you step on your scale? Regarding the most accurate bathroom scales, I track averages from week to week. Weighing yourself doesn't need to be every day. It can be every other day or two. I like to know which way I'm trending, so it's important that my scale is consistent so I can step on mine 5 times and get the same exact weight. I'm within 0.5% if I weigh myself daily. I haven't stepped on mine since the pandemic started. I'm too afraid. Editor's note. Study suggests you weigh yourself daily if your goal is weight loss. Do it first thing in the a.m. for your most accurate reading because your body has had time to process what you consumed the day before. What we're testing in our labs. In our 63 labs, we continue to review and rate products. Here are timely picks for this month. Headphones for $50 or less. We tested 34 models. We test for sound quality, including clarity, how well noise-canceling models reduce ambient noise, and more. The scores are median for noise-canceling, medium 73, range 67 to 74. For stereo, median 59, range 41 to 73. Great over-the-ear headphones with noise cancellation. Anchor Soundcore Live Q20, $50, got a $73. Best Budget Buds, one more Piston Buds, a 70 overall score, and they cost $40. Workout Bargain Pick, JC8HAX9BT, Gummy Wireless, $20, $65 overall score. Mattresses, we tested 120 innerspring models. We test for support for petite, average, and large, tall, side, and back sleepers, durability, firmness on a scale of 1 to 10, and more. About the scores, medium was 70, the range was 44 to 85. Medium firmness and excellent for petite side sleepers. Ethan Alla EA Signature Platinum Plush, 81 overall score. and cost $2,225. Firmer and excellent for all types of back sleepers. Beautyrest Pressure Smart 11.5 inch firm, $1,100, 75 overall score. And super soft and very good most back and side sleepers. Puffy Lux Hybrid at $1,495, got a 73. Ask our experts. I've heard softer mattresses are better for side sleepers. Is that true? Not necessarily. Our side sleeper tests are based on the premise that you will benefit from a mattress that's able to support your spine well enough to keep it relatively horizontal, a straight line parallel to the floor, while you're lying down rather than curving, which can cause shoulder or back pain. But we haven't found softness to be an indication of that. The five mattresses that received an excellent rating on our test for petite or large side sleepers range from 3 to 7 out of 10 on our firmness scale, with 1 being the softest and 10 the firmest. Instead, side sleepers should look for a mattress that scores well on our side support test for your body type, such as the Easton Allen listed above. Toaster ovens for $100 or less. We tested 22 models. We test for how evenly a model toasts sliced bread and bakes muffins and cookies, how well it reseats lasagna, and how easy it is to clean and more. About the scores, the median was 57, the range was 39 to 67. Best overall and easy to clean. The Back & Decker 8-slice digital extra wide at $100, got a 67 overall. Fits under low cabinets. The Hamilton Beach 6-slice, 31,411 at $65, got a 63 overall score. And a reliable blend, the Oster Design for Life TSST DVD L2 6-slice at $40. It got a 63 overall score as well. Battery-powered chainsaws. We tested 23 models. We test how easy it is to start, how fast it cuts through 10-inch square oak beam, how safe it is, including a measurement of its kickback intensity, and more. The scores were 4, where the median was 67, the range was 35 to 82. Ooh, this first one got an 82. A cut above the rest, the Ego CS1804 for $350. Powerful and easy to handle, the Echo CVS58V4AH for $350, got a 79. And the bargain buy was the Hart HLC0111, and $190, got a 73 overall. Robotic vacuums, the biggest thing. 34 models they tested. How well a model cleans bare floors and carpets, picks up pet hair, gets into corners, and more. About the score, the median was 65, the range was 32 to 81. Supreme cleaner but pricer is the iRobot Roomba S9 Plus. It cost $950. Overall score was 81, though. Great value is the Eufy 11S at $220, got a 75 overall score. And excellent on carpets is the Samsung PowerBot R7040 at $500, got a 72 overall score. Portable air conditioners. We need them now, that's for sure. Tested 6 models. How quickly and accurately models cool a room to set temperature, noise level during use on high and low speeds, and more. The medium score was 63. The range was 57 to 66, so tight range. Top performer was the LG LP1419, $700, got a 66. Reliable blend for less is the Winter, that's WHYNTR, ARC12SDH, $460, got a 64. And the most budget-friendly pick was the Winter Arc 102CS at $350. It got a 60. Now here's an article from the Ask Our Experts that's really current. Do children really need to get a COVID-19 vaccine? Yes, if they're of eligible age, they should get vaccinated. The Food and Drug Administration has authorized the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds after evaluating its safety and effectiveness. And younger children may be eligible by the fall. In fact, a recent clinical trial found the Pfizer vaccine to be 100% effective at preventing COVID-19 in 12 to 15-year-olds. Moderna has requested FDA authorization for use of its vaccine on those as ages 12 to 17. In the early months of the pandemic, scientists learned that children and teens were much less likely than adults to become very ill from the virus. While this is still mostly true, in some cases younger children have had organ damage or died as a result of COVID-19. And teens are more likely to experience the severe symptoms many adults do, says Catherine Edwards, MD, scientific director of Vanderbilt Vaccine Research Program, and a professor of pediatrics. In fact, teens account for almost a quarter of new cases, and some states are seeing a rapid spread of infections in children. This may be caused by the fact that as adults get vaccinated, the percentage of them getting infected goes down, thus increasing the portion of cases of children who test positive. Another reason, The new variants of COVID-19 could be more infectious and dangerous. We know they are, even to younger people. This makes vaccinating children more urgent. There have been around 300 to 600 pediatric COVID deaths, says Gregory Poland, MD, director of the Vaccine Research Group at the Mayo Clinic, who studies vaccine response in adults and children. That's likely to increase if we don't stop transmission by getting as many people immunized as possible. Are buy now, pay later plans a good idea? More online shoppers are encountering a new payment method when checking out, a button typically allowing you to put down 25% of the purchase price, then pay off the rest in 3 equal installments over 6 weeks, with no fees or interest. This buy now, pay later, BNPL, type of instant, no-cost financing has become increasingly popular, says CR Money editor Penelope Wang. You may see it while shopping at Amazon, Bed Bath & Beyond, Walmart, and other retailers. And more than 40% of American shoppers have used a BNPL plan, according to a Credit Karma Qualtrics survey. Some hard-pressed Americans are using it to stretch out payments for necessities. Others employ it only for big-ticket items, such as a TV. These short-term loans also appeal to consumers who can't qualify for a credit card but still want to enjoy the advantage of spreading out payments. There are risks, however. Depending on the type of plan you use, you may face fees and interest charges if you don't make the payments on time. So you need to manage the payments carefully or set up automatic ones. You may also have trouble getting a refund, even if the product you bought is defective or otherwise unsatisfactory. Read the terms of the loans on the lender's website carefully, Wang says. And there's the danger of buying much more than you can afford. One survey found that almost half of BNPL shoppers said they increased their spending by 10 to 40% or more compared with using a credit card. Does driving more slowly help you save money on gas? Believe it or not, keeping to lower speeds can substantially increase your fuel economy and therefore save you some money. CR's auto experts looked at the effect of speed on fuel consumed by testing widely sold sedan, a Nissan Altima, an SUV, a Toyota RAV4, and found that reducing speeds from 65 miles an hour to 55 miles an hour improved the fuel economy in both vehicles. Gas mileage improves by 6 miles per gallon in the Altima and 8 miles per gallon in the RA4, potentially saving drivers between $92 and $153 per year in gas money, assuming 12,000 miles of driving annually at a full cost of $3.05 per gallon. In a less efficient vehicle, your savings may be even greater. By driving smoothly at moderate speed, you'll also reduce wear and tear on your vehicle and pollute less. Choosing a great outdoor rug. Looking for a pretty rug to improve your alfresco setup? First, consider the material it will be made of. Some textiles are more durable and easy to care for, making them perfect for an outdoor space. To help them with your search for an outdoor-worthy rug, we spoke to Carmen Barbie, merchandise buyer for Ballard Designs, and Lisa Wagner, a National Institute of Rug Cleaning certified rug specialist and founder of RugChick.com. Polypropylene, best for humid clients. For a durable outdoor rug, polypropylene, also called olefin, is a good bet, especially if you live in a humid climate. Polypropylene is composed of plastic, won't absorb liquid, and is typically fade and stain resistant, which means these rugs can survive spills or a hard rain. UV-treated polypropylene yarn even resists fading, and 100% polypropylene rugs are easy to clean because they don't have dyes that blend or delicate fibers. Some can even be pressure washed. Non-acrylic poly and polyester, wide variety of styles. The durability of these synthetics varies, though they tend to be more resilient than 100% natural fibers. These rugs often have natural fibers like cotton or jute woven in, which makes them more susceptible to fungi, and more outside may be more water-resistant, but the inner layers may not be. Check the care labels before you buy. If you want the look of natural sisal rug, you can find synthetic sisal-style weave, which mimics true sisal but is more durable, less expensive option. Sisal, seagrass, and jute, good only in dry climates. These pricey, natural fiber rugs offer a chic aesthetic, but the materials they're made of are prone to mildew and are suitable only for dry climates. Think Arizona. Watch out for borders made of fabric or a glue-based backing, which traps moisture and causes mildew. Seagrass tends to be more durable. Sisal and jute are more delicate. A braided or open weave style will promote airflow and evaporation, but proper care is crucial. Hang the rug in the sun regularly to air it out, and you may need a pro cleaning to get out stains. Protect your deck. Before putting down any rug, Rico DePaz, CR's test engineer for wood stains, says it helped to use a deck stain engineered to resist color change and mildew, such as this recommended product. Bare Deck Plus Solid Color Waterproofing and Wood Stain. It's got a 74 thing and it's $33 a gallon. Time Traveler, Salad and Dressings. In 1939, mayonnaise, a popular way to dress greens, is now outsold by Laura Cower mayo-based dressing. After testing 7-jar dressings, Home Delight, a Best Buy, is rated tops. 1945, Sierra tests the flavor and fat and content of 15 dressings. A Greendale product with acceptable fat content with very good flavor is judged the best. In 1959, Chuck's Steakhouse opens in Honolulu and offers what it claims is the first build-your-own salad bars in a restaurant. In 1973, Gilberte Fontenot patents a salad drainer or spinner with a rotating inner container for drying lettuce, which saves time prepping greens. I just used mine last night. 1979, we rate 61 salad dressings and find that all contain too much vinegar salted additives like MSG and artificial colors. 1980, actor Paul Newman fills empty wine bottles with homemade salad dressing for holiday gifts. 2 years later, Newman's own salad dressing is launched. 1988, McDonald's salads are said to be so successful that farmers can barely keep up, report. 1 in 7 CR readers says they ate a salad the last time they got fast food. In 1992, the salad bar trend continues to grow. Some restaurants now offer salad bars with as many as 120 hot and cold dishes, CR reports. 2010, we rate the nutrition of 20 meal-sized salads from casual and fast food joints. A chicken salad from Panera Bread gets our top score. In 2019, our food and safety experts find listeria in some supermarket leafy greens, triggering an FDA inspection. In 2021, our test of 29 salad dressing, Annie's Light Raspberry Flavor, tops our favorite for fruit vinaigrettes. Annie's Organic Light Raspberry Vinaigrette is 63 cents per ounce and got a 74 overall score. Now, to kill a few seconds, we'll do some silly jokes. Why did the tomato blush? Because it saw the salad dressing. What do dentists call x-rays? Toothpicks. Did you hear about the first restaurant to open on the moon? It has great food, but no atmosphere. What did the wall say to the other wall? I'll meet you at the corner. What does a joke become a dad joke? When the punchline is a parent. What did the paper say to the pencil? Right on. How did a bullet lose its job? It got fired. Sorry about that, but that's just what we have to do sometimes when the time is short. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.